Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Again, we are on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's the FM dial in Boston, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us 24/7 on the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Download that in your app store to your phone and listen to us anytime. Back to the phones. Ralph in Hyde Park on the Patriots. Hi, Ralph.
I want to switch up, get in on the Celtics. I got three quick points. Marcus Smart makes winning plays. I agree with you, Felger. Those two offensive fouls he drew on James Harden in the Houston game, nobody does that in the league, hardly, except Marcus Smart. But I think this was the last year of the Marcus Smart experiment. He has not met the benchmarks for shooting percentage, shot selection, and not being a bonehead, punching that picture frame. Like, he's done, if you ask me. And I like Rozier's upside. I agree with Jimmy. Second, Pierce's video. I just want to say why I loved Paul Pierce. He maximized his gifts. He was not fast. He didn't have ups. His shot was clunky. He wasn't a gifted shooter like Bird. But he, like, outfought and out-timed the opponent. When he had the ball in his hands, he knew every possible option he had. And next thing you know, he's slicing through the defense, slow as he was. And in the finals against L.A., when he blocked Kobe's step back, nobody
Ralph,
blocked Kobe's step back.
What's three, please?
What?
No, that's it, two.
I was wondering why he was on so long.
Sorry. It's a Monday.
His 2 points took too long.
On Marcus Smart, I don't sign him to a stupid contract. Like, that's the only thing I would say. I'm on the Marcus Smart bandwagon. I think you're missing him right now, and I think you're seeing why you miss him and all of this. But if he's thinking he's going to get $15 million a year or something like this for a guy who can't shoot, no way. See you later. So I'm not doing that. But I want him on the team. As long as he's affordable, I want him on the team. And if it's choice between him and Rozier, I go him over Rozier.
Well, if it's 2 for $10 for Smart. 2 years, $10 million per season.
I think it's fair.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, please, absolutely. They offered him more than that during the fall, didn't they?
Well, with the Lou Williams contract, I think that has brought his market way down.
The numbers are going down.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
Numbers are going down. So, I mean, I like the player, but I'm not overspending on him. Joey and Bill Ricca on the Patriots. Hi, Joey.
Hey, what's up? Hey, this is my take. With Belichick not wanting to give the Patriots picks for his quarterback that he groomed, and as important those draft picks are going forward, how much can we trust Belichick going forward with drafting the next guy and rebuilding this team from the quarterback up?
So I trust him in terms of his football acumen, right? I mean, I like to think that he's so good he can identify the talent and then develop it. I think the Krafts might be looking at him and go, where's your head at, man? Like, why are you making some of these moves? Why did you just hand-deliver Garoppolo to San Francisco without shopping the pick and trying to get the most in return? Like, why'd you just try it? Because it looks like Bill did it just to take care of the player who he likes and to deal with a coach that he likes and Kyle Shanahan because he had a relationship with the old man. Like, that's sort of how it looks. And so if I'm the Krafts, I'm only saying, I mean, we obviously know you can do these things because you're the best ever, but why again did Butler get a uniform but didn't see the field? And why did you just call one person and just hand deliver? Like, where's your head at? So, like, that would be the concern with Belichick.
Absolutely. And look, I wonder, you know, I told you some of those little whispers that were in those stories last week, and I say whispers, lines in the middle of stories about, you know, McDaniels picked the last guy, according to Volan. They're going to rely on him to do it again. And Bedard saying it on our show, and you know, I think I heard Burt Breer say it at 1.2. Like, all of a sudden, McDaniels is the guy who identified Jimmy G and developed him.
Yes.
So, like, I wonder, is he going to play a big hand in this one, whether he did or not on Garoppolo? If he's going to be the successor, shouldn't he be the guy that's picking the quarterback?
Great point.
Yeah. Like, you know,
he's got to be right there.
Well, I wonder, like, how's that going to go? What happens on draft day if Bill and Josh disagree on the quarterback? Is Kraft going to pick Josh's guy? I don't know. I mean, they got to take a quarterback, right? This draft, this offseason, is about two things, assuming that Belichick stays. The defense and the next quarterback. That's it. Where else? It's got to be those two things.
No, but it's interesting. If Josh is getting the next quarterback, shouldn't he be the one to really dig in there and pick him?
Okay, so do you want him?
No.
I want Bill picking him.
But yeah, again, because McDaniels is still the guy to me, and I know we're going to go back, but he's still the guy who took Tim Tebow first overall, or 25th overall in the first
round. Scary!
Yeah, that's frightening to me. That's a massive red flag.
I mean, I don't know. Like, how's that going to go now? I wonder. That feels sticky.
Mm, I like it. Tony and Stoneham on our Jersey conversation. Yes, Tony?
How you doing, guys?
Good, Tony.
Let me just touch on the Patriots for a minute, because I want to go back to what you were talking about earlier.
Just quickly.
The whole thing, the only reason that Daniels came back is because Kraft is BS about him not playing Buffalo, and I think that's exactly it. I think Kraft is the one that brought him back. Now, going back to your list of Hall of Famers on all these different teams, why is Ted Williams in there? He didn't win a World Series. According to you, you got to win a championship.
No, you don't have to. There's the Ted Williams, Ray Bourque, Yastrzemski exceptions.
They have exceptions, okay.
Exceptions.
And you make such a big issue out of things. A guy like Russell and Tommy Heinsohn and those guys, look at all the championships they won in a much harder time to play. They didn't have
harder time to play, Tony. There were eight. There were eight teams. There were eight teams when they first started playing. There were eight teams. The Tri-City Riverhawks, man. Come on, it wasn't a harder time, Tony.
When you're spreading players over a smaller area, you have obviously stronger teams.
Tony, how many African Americans played when they first started? Did everyone play, or was it just a select few? You know, was it really open to the entire pool of talent in the country, or not? Like, please, would you stop with that? But I'm not taking away from them. They're up there. You dominate a decade and a half like they did, fine. Put their numbers up there. Just don't give me Jim Loskatoff. Like, the Celtics cheapened the whole thing by all the people they put up
there. Oh, of course they did. They totally watered it down. I just think, you know, when you're talking about Russell to me is a different animal. You win as much as he did. And, right. and also, he did have to beat Wilt. Like, it's not like, you know, his quote-unquote peer at that time.
He
was
had one.
Absolutely.
Fine.
So Wilt was, you know, Russell dominated Wilt. Like, that says plenty about it right there. End of conversation.
Dakota and Braintree on the Celts yesterday. You getting worried, Dakota?
All right, let me call it the way I see it.
Here we go.
I like to call it the way I see it. That was pathetic yesterday. The most pathetic performance in a Sunday afternoon national TV crowd with Paul Pierce and all the players there. The Celtics dropped the ball. They laid a big egg. And, Tony, you have every right to be concerned after seeing under a pressure situation with more than Jaylen Brown than Tatum. Because one thing I've noticed early in the season with Tatum, he had a lot of wide-open three-pointers, dislocated his finger. Now the defense is stepping out on Tatum. And what's he doing? He's getting run off the three-point line, but now he's hitting that shot from 18-foot. Good for Tatum. He's making an adjustment in his rookie year. Jaylen Brown, this guy needed to be the second guy on this team to step up. And you cannot have a guy in that game yesterday just be a no-show. So if there's something to be concerned about, it's Jaylen Brown. And after yesterday's performance, these Antonio Davis or Trey Jaylen Brown, he's on his way out if he doesn't step up his game. I'm concerned in a big way after seeing it because the Cavs, and I said this going in after that trade, like I'm concerned. I like those players that that Cleveland picked up. In the Celtics, the reason those odds changed dramatically from, what, 8-1
oh my God.
20-1,
right?
That's because before, Vegas thought Cleveland really didn't even have a shot to get out of round one or two. So the Celtics actually had a legitimate opportunity to get into the championship, where there they have to be somewhat of a single-digit right favorite to win the title.
Okay, Dakota, I'm just going to stop you there. Jaylen Brown and just the way the odds – the Celtics went from a 14-1 favorite to win the NBA title to 20-1. And the Cavs went from 12-1 to 8-1 based on one game. I think that's silly.
It's very drastic.
And people have overreacted. And people have overreacted to one game. Again, let's see that all settle in there in Cleveland. And LeBron, how he really likes everybody after they have a loss or two. And, you know, let's see. It's all, you know, show ponies and unicorns right now. Let's see how that all plays out. But on Jaylen Brown, that's a big worry for you, too.
It is. Look, again, I think, and I don't have the box room in front of me, I think Brown took 9 shots in the game yesterday. 5 of them were three-pointers. No good. It's not his game. Now, look, he can make them now. He makes them, you know, better than he did a year ago, certainly, and he's getting better at it. Great. But that's not his game. He should still be a guy that beats guys off the dribble and gets to the basket with his athleticism. Now, look, he's going to shoot free throws better, and I don't know if this is factoring into. He's 58% of the line, 58% from the line this year. Maybe he's afraid to go to the basket. But he's not a jump shooter. He should take jumpers when the ball gets kicked to him and he's open. He shouldn't be looking for jumpers. And with him and Tatum going bad at the same time, and that has happened at various points, I thought Tatum was good at the start of the game yesterday. But if that happens, they're in trouble because they don't have secondary scoring.
Right back to your calls after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupable. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid. 98.5 Sports
Hub. Well, I mean, I think they're playing better basketball than we are, you know, especially for the majority of the season. We got some work to still do. You know, we're just coming together. The guys don't quite know everything that we want to do. We got to have some practice times and get that, watch a lot of film. So we got some catching up to do with not only Boston, but Toronto and Philadelphia and all the other teams in the Eastern Conference and the rest of the league to try to get on the page where we feel like we're confident enough to go out and win a playoff game.
Celtics, Cavs tonight, 7-game series. Who do you like?
Celtics.
Okay.
3-2 Celtics.
3-2 yeah. Celtics. It's Monday, Murray. We come in hot. We get right up in your kitchen.
Ask him again before the end of the show. Yeah.
We'll have a recap of this. See if we can force.
Oh, great. That's good.
See if we can force a game seven.
Murray wasn't ready for it. Monday, 2 o'clock, sort of a soft opening. He's ready just to sort of ease his way into the week. And right down his throat in the first segment. Who do you like, Murray? Why? Who do you like and why?
Just
the love it.
Continued ball busting. If I watch a game and my opinion kind of wavers a little bit, nope, you've dug in. What you said earlier is what you mean, and you can't waver from that. Rah.
I'm not reading too much into one game. I'm just not.
No, and I said that to him. Neither am I. But there's a little bit of a concern because
those guys shot lights out. 53%.
Elgar, what
three.
Happened to you?
Okay, but
what
take
do you mean?
The,
I'm just saying it's one game.
Take the shooting out of it.
I didn't have the Celts last year. I don't have them. I said exactly what would happen, that they'll compete and win a game.
You're like ultimate green teamer this year. It's like you're setting them up to fail.
The Cavs are more athletic. They're more athletic than they were, and they're hungrier.
How do you base it on one game?
Just by the players they got.
What do you got in your mouth?
I'm eating.
What are you eating?
Beef jerky.
Finish chewing. Finish chewing, then we'll take your take.
As you do chewing on your own.
That's distracting. You're like a squirrel squirreling something away for the winter.
Nobody can see it.
I can see it. It's obvious.
I can hear it on
you.
The air.
What do you mean?
Finish chewing your jerky, and then we'll get back to you on your take. Ernie and Revere has a Bruins thought. Go ahead, Ernie.
Hey, how you doing, Murph? We love you. Have you ever thought about maybe, I know Hoffman might be hard to get. What about Bobby Ryan? He's a playoff stud.
Love him.
And he can't stand playing with the team he's with. And I think you can get him for cheap on the cheap.
Love him. Something like that, Ernie. A rental. If Bobby Ryan's got a lot of years left on his contract, I want nothing to do with it. Again, you've cleared the decks of all the bad money. You've got a lot of young guys who you're going to have to pay. So I don't want, unless it's a Vander Kane, who's a 20-something, with a huge upside and a long career ahead of him, and then he's part of your young core, then that's fine. But you want to rent a Bobby Ryan, a Thomas Vanek, Maroon?
Patrick Maroon.
Patrick Maroon, we talked about before. Rick Nash with the Rangers? Yes, 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 and yes.
I like Bobby Ryan. I'll check the contract. Ryan would be a good one, too. He's a good fit for Krejci, that kind of guy.
Someone to put next to Krejci. And I'm sorry, I use Spooner because I don't think he's long for this team. And he's had a nice year, and he's really helped you out. Good power play guy, and he's held down the fort on the right side next to Krejci, but he's not a true winger. He doesn't create space for anyone. He's a free agent after the year, and you're not going to sign him because you've got too many other kids that you want to sign. So use him, and I don't know what sort of value he has with his contract being up, but anyway, use him, and hopefully you can upgrade that spot on a rental. That's where I think they're at. John and Alston wants to follow up on that. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I've got a little bit more of a big picture idea for the Bruins. And with the Rangers being in like fire sale mode, the name Ryan McDonough has come up a handful of times. And with Zdeno Chara having like a year left and McDonough being a left-shot defenseman,
yes,
I
sir.
Feel like he would be like the perfect, like, I don't know, like he'd be like the Garoppolo to Brady if the Patriots didn't screw that whole thing up.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, McAvoy's your Garoppolo to Brady, but I see what you're saying. McDonough on the left side is just, boy, so you go Chara, McAvoy, and then McDonough, and then
Carlo.
Carlo on the right side, and if Carlo you don't like, then you can put Kevin Miller or McQuaid up there. Like, that's a legit, that's a playoff-ready, deep-run top 4D. Like, that's excellent.
I mean, look, don't they really, when you come get right down to it, don't they need either a right wing or a left defenseman or
yes.
both?
Yes.
I mean, veteran guys, yes. right? And so that's it.
Okay, but
those two guys.
But McDonough cost you. He probably cost you Carlo. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you would have to give up a young defenseman going that way to get a guy like, I mean, that's a number one defenseman, Ryan McDonough. He's that kind of quality. And I love him. I mean, he'd be perfect fit here. But that's, now you're giving up Carlo. You're probably giving up something like Bjork or Heinen or DeBrusk, like one of the, you'd have to give up something like that. And you know, I just don't know if they have the appetite to make that kind of trade.
Price is probably too high then. And look, on Bobby Ryan, forget it. The contract, and I'm only looking
at... How many
at,
years left?
Well, there's at least, after this one, there's at least four more at $7.5 million each.
Way.
Yeah, see you later.
See you later, no shot.
Yeah, so that's not happening.
No shot. Brian in Salem on the Patriots. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. So I was just thinking when this whole, this gorgeous story came out of Brady demanding money and how that makes no sense, and it got me to thinking about where the money went or where it goes for this team, and then that just got me thinking even further. So just basically the 2015 season when they had studs on every level on a young basis. I mean, they had Jamie Collins, Hightower, Chandler Jones, and Malcolm Butler was coming into a shell. Fast forward to now and going into next year, the only piece on our team that you can look at and game plan against on defense is Gilmore, a guy that we got from a different team. Like, what happened?
It's a good question. No, it's like, where's Brady's money gone? All the money's left on the table so they can build the team around him. Where's it, like, do you think they have a particularly deep team?
No. Well, look, on offense, they get a lot of guys who can catch passes, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Cooks,
maybe, yeah, maybe
Hogan,
so.
Amendola, Edelman,
they gave
Gronk.
Gillisley money, Burkhead money, fine.
I mean, a lot of skill players, a lot. But that's where all the money is. Like, defensively, I look at it and go, holy crap, how did you end up with what you ended up with after all those players?
They lost the draft picks, is what happened.
Wow. I mean, really, you boil it all down. The linebacking corps, I'm sorry. I know I keep harping on this.
No, don't apologize. They suck.
No, their linebacking corps doesn't just suck. It's probably the worst in the league. Tell me who's got a worse...
You won't get any argument from me.
I think they have the worst linebacking core in the league. At least when Hightower went out, they did. What are they left with?
When your best player is Kyle Van Noy, when you legitimately missed Kyle Van Noy, your linebacking core is, yeah, the worst of the league.
I mean, how do the Patriots have the worst of anything in the league? And their linebacking core does. It blows.
Derek in North Andover on Patrice Bergeron. What are your thoughts there, Derek?
Yeah, I was wondering how you could possibly think that he wouldn't get his number put in the rafters there.
Because I have a very, very high standard, Derek.
Well, what about Neely?
No, I'm a no.
No on Neely?
That's right.
O'Reilly?
No, definitely not.
O'Reilly?
That's silly that they put his number up there. And I don't want to, you know, rag on Terrio.
He's been a team for the last more than a decade.
He never won anything.
He won a cup.
And he wasn't, Terry O'Reilly never won a cup. And Unless, was he there in 72? He wasn't there in 72, was
no,
he?
No, no, O'Reilly didn't win a cup.
The standards are nearly impossible to get into the Felger foyer.
No, you have to win multiple.
Closet.
You have to be an all-time player, an all-time generational player, or have won, and have won multiple championships, unless you're, you know, the only guys I give a break to are John Hanna, Ted Williams, Ray Bourque, Carl Yastrzemski, like, The all-time of the all-time would just never happen to win because they were in the wrong place. But anywhere else, they would have won. So, no, I just have a high, high, high standard. Terry O'Reilly, please. Like, who's next? Stan Jonathan? Like, I don't want to rag on Terry O'Reilly, but that's what, like, what are we doing? We're going to put Jay Miller up there next?
Oh, listen, O'Reilly was better than those guys.
I know he was. I'm saying those names to...
Yeah.
You know, to accentuate the point.
Yes, dramatize.
So, like, and I just
but think, O'Reilly shouldn't be up there. He absolutely should not be up there.
And in the ideal Felge perfect world, there's no Paul Pierce up there either. There's just he.
So
won,
you're wrong on Pierce.
He won one championship, and he needed someone else to come in and be the best player on the team to win it for him.
But he was the Finals MVP, so it wasn't like.
So what? That could be anyone.
He was on a lot of bad teams. He got to the Eastern Conference Finals on a terrible team.
Anyone
in the early
can be a
2000s.
Finals MVP once you're there. Once Garnett takes you there. Anyone could emerge and have a good couple of games and be the MVP. I mean, he's a great player. I'm not telling you he sucked. I'm just telling you that You got to be the best player on a team that wins multiple champions, and you got to dominate an era. You got to be. That's got to be your era.
Wasn't he a 10-time All-Star on top of it?
Neat.
So, I mean, but
so
the point
is George Gervin.
Yeah, that's a metric to determine whether somebody's, quote, dominating an era.
Yeah, that's why I used it. Yeah, thank you.
I don't think, did Paul Pierce dominate an era? Would you stop? He didn't.
Well, he was one of the 20 best players in the league, probably.
20.
In the league.
In his generation.
Oh, he's higher than that.
What's he, the second all-time leading scorer in club history?
Yeah.
Volume. Volume stat.
I don't even know who number one was. Is it Bird?
Gotta be.
It doesn't matter.
High standard. Only the creme de la creme de la creme. Kyle in Boston wants to do a Bruins-Celtics thing. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, so I don't know if I missed it, but do you guys go through like the parallels of this Bruins and Celtics teams? Like, basically, this year's Bruins is last year's Celtics team. They're overachieving. If they go in the first round, it's a bust. They have a young coach. They're exciting to watch. And then if they make a deep run, you're like, oh, that's nice. But they're going to run into a buzzsaw. And so next year, the Bruins are going to be exactly what the Celtics are this year. Super high expectations. You're going to be way more critical of them. And, you know, it's just...
Yeah, probably so.
It's really fun to watch, but it's just, you know, what all you guys said about last year's Celtics, you're pretty much going to be saying about this year's Bruins.
Probably so. The only difference are the sports, where the Bruins could win a championship. They're not. I don't think they will, but they could, because you can in hockey. You know, it just can happen. In basketball, it can't happen.
Don't you think the Bruins are actually a little farther along than where the Celtics were? And I say that because of McAvoy. He was a stud from the day he set foot on the ice.
Remember like his first game against Ottawa last year in the playoffs?
I mean, it was like, what did he play, like 22 minutes that night or something? Remember that? Like, I just think McAvoy changes it. McAvoy's the guy you're going to... He's it. He's not a developing player. He's not Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. He's better.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mojo, any chance Gronk does some WWE after his career?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Come
really?
On now.
Can he be?
I don't know, I can't speak for him.
Can he be whatever WrestleMania he wants to do. Royal Rumble champion?
I don't know, it takes a lot to go into that, but Robbie G's the man, and I don't put anything past him.
Right.
Look, his career speaks for itself.
I just think it's funny, I laugh every time.
The fact that Gronk got in the ring and gave a tackle to Jinder Mahal.
He got in the three-point stance, right?
Well, didn't Jinder Mahal throw a drink in his face?
He did. He was provoked.
There you go. Well, what do you expect him to do? Do you stand by the thought, Jimmy, that Rob Gronkowski has a future in WWE?
Absolutely. And 6 to 12 months of training, and in 2 years or so, he could be a main event WrestleMania guy.
And you think he's can make millions a year doing wrestling?
Oh, I think he can start at least $1 million salary.
I mean, based on what he did to that guy in Buffalo, he can absolutely be in the WWE. What was that guy's name again?
Tredavious White.
Tredavious White. Yeah. I was going to say Kentavious. I couldn't remember his name. Tredavious White. I mean, he gave him a forearm shiver.
That's a good one.
I mean, so he looks like a natural to me.
Hey, let me this guy's asking for it.
Wow, that guy's ripped.
So, like, what
Jinder Mahal is huge.
I was going to say, Jimmy, what kind of training does he need to do?
Couple
of cycles.
Gronk just needs to hit the weight room.
He needs to hit the weight room. Wrestling.
Yeah.
Gronk needs to hit the weight room.
He needs a little bit of a leaner look.
Well, the thing is, too, I would think...
But, see, I think his work there along the ropes was phenomenal.
If he goes into the WWE, right, couldn't he then, Jimmy, parlay this into... If he gets bored and then wants to go back to football, he could parlay it into the XFL when they start that up in a few years.
The XFL or the WWE has a films division that he could work in.
Oh, great. Sure, they put out a lot of great movies.
So I don't love the...
They've made a lot of money doing these great movies.
Yeah.
I don't love the T-shirt Gronk's wearing either. The tank top there, he can do better than that.
It was kind of an improvise on the moment.
Yeah, anyway. Still, I'm curious to see how this all plays out. If the Patriots really don't up their offer, is he really going to up and leave for movies and wrestling and all of this? And again, I'll say again, on a personal level, I'm rooting for him. If you can, it's so hard. Those players get hosed so badly in that league, right, Maz? And so few of them have any real leverage to go back to the owners and say, shove it. No, I'm not doing this. If Gronkowski really carves out leverage enough to say, you know what, I've got a better offer than to be paid like the third highest paid tight end versus what I should be, which is like a top five receiver, then no, I'm out.
On that end, I wouldn't blame him because the money is ridiculous. Jordan Reed makes more money than Rob Gronkowski is absurd. He should be making Antonio Brown money.
It is. It's asinine.
He should be making Antonio Brown money.
So,
absolutely.
So my question would be, if they give him that incentive package again, right? Which was, I don't know, 6 million?
It's 5, 6 million. He's at like 9, 10 now. So if he goes from 9, 10 range to 15, 16, same incentive package.
Is that enough?
I bet it is.
See, that's what I feel. I think like if Gronk can get to close to 15, if he stays healthy.
So he has to be all pro again, or he has to hit those numbers that he couldn't hit this year because, again, he missed a couple games. So it just shows you, even though he had a really good year and he was mostly there, he missed one game from injury, one game from suspension. And I think that prevented him from reaching those thresholds, right? He had to be voted the all-pro to get his money.
Which he got.
Which he got. Which he got.
See, but if he stays on the field, he will be all-pro. I mean, like, how do you say no to Gronk?
Yeah.
He's a force. The guy's just... And the other thing is, it does leave open the latitude for the Patriots to say, well, you were out there, which is the big thing we wanted, and you got close, so we'll give it to you anyway. Like, cause if he didn't get all pro, if he lost it out to Travis Kelce...
And they didn't give him his money?
Oh, he'd definitely he'd go be, to WWE.
Right. He'd be gone already. All right, so let's just keep an eye on that. Let's go back to the phones. Mike's in Woburn. He's got something for me. Go ahead, Mike.
So, you know, I would say Gronk's career would be lengthened just by the fact that he wouldn't have Bonesaw using his forearm as his own personal operation game.
That's the former team doctor for the Patriots, for those of you wondering.
Yes, exactly. And I do like your idea of Jinder Mahal. I think a Irish Maharaja would go over with the fans.
It's Jinder Mahal, Mike.
Listen, I know you are, like, you want the creme de la creme of guys raised to the rafters, but we're not talking about the Hall of Fame. By your logic, Robin Yount doesn't get his number retired by the Brewers, does he?
No, he's a Hall of Fame player and was the best player of his generation for 15, 20 years.
How many titles did Robin Yount win, Mike?
Zero. I told you, there's the titleless. Let me finish. He's the equivalent of Ray Bourque.
See you later. No more Robin Yount. Go cry with Ben Ogilvy. You're not getting your number up in the up with Bernie Brewer up in the beer tower, right?
I told you, he's the Ray Bourque equivalent for the Brewers.
Ray Bourque won a cup.
But not for the Bruins. Not for the Bruins. We're talking about retiring your jersey up in the rafters.
Ray Bourque is a world champion. Robin Yount is not. So
no.
By the Felger standard, Robin Yount, where he gets the Price is Right, so sorry horn. Him and the cliffhanger guy fall off the mountain, and him and Rob Deere go in and drink it with Bernie Brewer.
Gorman Thomas would be the one you're looking for. No, he's the Ray Bourque, Carl Yastrzemski equivalent for the Brewers. I told you, you have to win multiple championships unless you're Ted Williams, unless you're Ray Bourque. And, by the way, there's a different standard if you're a loser organization like the Milwaukee Brewers. There's difference in Boston. It's a little different. Decorated, generational teams that have won champion, you know, except for the Bruins, who pretty much have been losers the whole way through. But, you know, when we're talking about generational, legit championship decorated teams, it's a different standard than the Peasley Milwaukee Brewers.
The Brewers.
Is like, it just true, Robin Yount? Like, who else? I'm trying to think. B.J. Surhoff?
No.
Like, what other?
No.
Molitor and Yount?
Molitor, yeah. I'd put Molitor in there.
I mean, I don't even know if there's a third. Like, I really...
It can't be.
No, I'll give you a third.
Mike Caldwell, Jim Slayton?
Henry Aaron.
Oh, Henry Aaron.
So, which I actually think is. But he came back in DH for the Brewers for a couple of years.
Yeah, at the end.
I know, that's a reach. That's how pathetic it is. And the Fonz. Like, that's who we have. That's the statue out in front of the stadium.
John Jaha?
That's what we got.
Six Toe Lescano.
Jose.
Who's that suck left-handed pitcher you had?
Jose, Teddy Higuera. Here's Jose in Boston. Go ahead, Jose.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I wanted to just say that we may need to rename the TD Garden the red carpet for the Cavs, because every time they come to Boston, they walk all over us. It's not even close. 13, 44, 33, 22. Those are the last four games that they played in Boston. Granted,
is that right?
You know, two separate rosters and teams, but you know, we can't even beat, you know, the Raptors. When we play the Raptors, they blow us out. You know what I mean?
Like in Toronto,
like, Toronto too. And then and then we have this like fake rivalry with another overrated team in the East, the Wizards.
So Jose, hold on. You think that this is all just setting up for the Cavaliers to stomp you again when it matters in the playoffs?
I mean, yes. If LeBron just picked his all-star team and now he just picked his non-all-star team, his pickup team, and he comes to Boston, they've never played together, and you've been playing all season without Gordon Hayward. So that's not an excuse. They don't have Kevin Love. Kevin Love in the playoffs last year killed the Celtics, and they struggled. The Celtics suck at home.
Well, they don't suck at home in general, but again, there's a history here of LeBron coming in here and just having his way, bending you over and spanking you.
I mean, how do they stop him?
Okay, but do you really think that we're just setting up for that again in the playoffs this year? I mean, don't you think this year's different?
No, the games will be competitive. They'll be more competitive. I mean, you're not going to get what you got last year, which was, you know, 70-30 at halftime or whatever it was. They were down 40, for crying out loud, in that one game. Like, it won't be that bad, no. But I do think that, you know, when you have the best player in that league, you usually win. And again, the young guys for the Celtics right now, as much as I love Kyrie, LeBron's better. LeBron, I mean, that's not even debatable. So if it comes down to those two, LeBron will win. If the Celtics aren't getting the contributions from some of the other people, the Cavs will win. The only good part of that game yesterday for me was early on. Do you remember Kyrie took LeBron one-on-one and shot right over him?
Yeah, well, they went back and forth on consecutive trips down the floor where LeBron missed over Kyrie and Kyrie hit over LeBron.
That was it. That was the highlight.
It was all downhill from there.
Yes, it was. It was rapidly downhill without any breaks. That's what it was. It was like a steamroller into a cement wall.
But I don't think it was, yesterday was a LeBron, you know, freight train coming your way. Like, I don't think that was a, you know.
Oh, I don't know. When he came back from that injury that he played up a little bit too much, it was chugga, chugga, chugga.
No, it was like, to me, the key to the whole game, I told you this earlier, is when he got hurt, the Celtics couldn't run away. When he got hurt, all those, you know, role players in Cleveland hit their shots, and it was never more than a 5-point game, I don't think. And so when LeBron came back, it was still within reach. And then for about 5-10 minutes, it was, you know, it was that. But no, that game was about everybody else hitting their shots on that team, which I don't think is going to hold.
I know this is a total aside. He is still such a dink, though, isn't he? Did you hear him after the game with Doris Burke? You know, I had to overcome a little bit of adversity today. Shut up. You banged your knee, for crying out loud. You were fine.
Oh, and then the finger thing, too. Like, oh there's some blood.
Oh, yeah, but the nail.
Like, will you stop?
Oh, yeah, he is such a wuss bag. He really is.
Mike and Groton on the Bruins. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Felger. Hey, I usually agree with you on most things regarding the hockey topics, but I'm not understanding this whole retirement situation with Bergeron. Did I hear correctly? You don't think Bergeron's number should retire?
Not in my hall, but, you know, given that if Terry O'Reilly's going to be up there, then Bergeron's going to have to be up there. But I'm telling you, in my perfect world, he's not up there unless he wins a second one.
Okay, I absolutely agree. Number 8 and number 24 should not be up on the rafters. I understand that, but, I mean, okay, after the Bruins pulled out that insane game against the Leafs in Game 7 in 2013,
yep.
You said the following week that Bergeron's number should be retired and maybe Chara's.
I was emotional.
And now,
yeah, I couldn't be trusted. I was enjoying the win. I don't remember saying that, but I'll take your word for it. But I strike that.
What was the date on that?
I don't think I said that. I don't think I said that.
I want to pull the tape.
You go pull it. You go back there and pull it, Jimmy.
Yeah, Felger, you said. That's not what you said when they beat the Leafs 8 years
Look,
ago.
The I'm cat's out of the bag. Way. Bill Sharman, Jim Loskatoff, Ed Ramsey, Cedric Maxwell.
Frank Ramsey.
Whatever these guys. Terry O'Reilly.
Ed McCauley.
If those guys are up there, then yes, Bergeron's up and Chara's going to be up. And everyone's up. Put them all up. Put them all up. It just cheapens it. It just cheapens it. That's my point. It should only be a handful of names at most for any team. I gave you 6 on the Celtics because they're so decorated. I gave you 6 because I think I included Red in there. It should be Russell, Bird, Havlicek, Kuzi, and maybe Tommy again. Tommy to me is a half one. I don't know if
Tommy's a clear yes. Dave Cowens?
No. Did he win 2?
Tommy's a yes. Tommy should be a yes. As a coach, a player, and a broadcaster, he's an all-timer.
And he's a mensch. Like, I love Tommy. So, yes, 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 yes. So, I give you 5, and then Red somewhere up there is 6. Like, that's it. Stop. That's it. You don't get more than that.
Hey, look, I'm a small hall guy, generally speaking.
Small hall, baby. Absolutely.
I'm a small hall guy, really. I believe it in baseball. I believe it in everything. In team halls. You go beyond small.
Yes.
You are microscopic.
It's about the size of my
closet.
Yes.
Here's by the way, is a number 4 all-time in a 10-year span of 02 to 12.
Neat. Tremendous.
4 all-time of what?
Scoring.
Oh,
point
scoring. Scoring.
Volume scoring, Jimmy. Doesn't make my hall.
Volume. He needed someone else to come in here and win him a championship.
So
that's
all Kobe is a Hall of Famer, yes. Dirk, Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
LeBron, Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Those are the only 3 players with more points.
I know, but the Basketball Hall of Fame is a bad example because they put everybody in there. For
Tim Duncan has less. Kevin Garnett has less.
Huge hall. Huge hall.
They put Pac-Man and Rich Keefe into the Hall of Fame for crying out loud.
His final word is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
blunt force trauma.
We're gonna run him right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5. The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So if you missed it at the top of the show, really throughout the 4 hours of Felger and Mass today, came in and immediately got my balls broken over whether or not I feel confident about the Celtics after they got it pushed in by the Cavs yesterday and really over the last couple of weeks. So here's a recap of how that went throughout the day.
Celts-Cavs seven-game series. Celts, as they are now, home court advantage. Who wins that series? Murray.
Listen to you pause like yesterday. Right now, Cleveland wins it.
Yeah, right now, Cleveland wins it.
But Murray, what?
Am I basing it off how they played yesterday, Mike?
You have spent so 4 months is a little strong. You've spent 2 full months taking a steaming deuce on the Cleveland Cavaliers and how dumb they are. So one,
yeah, they got rid of all the bums.
So hold on, one afternoon and now they're back being the favorite?
If it looks like yesterday, yes.
I'm not asking you if. You tell me.
If it's home court advantage, then fine. The Celtics.
Okay, that was easy.
I'm telling you, if it's right... If
come on, Murray. It's 2 o'clock on Monday. Let's go. Tonight, Celtics-Cavs seven-game series. Who do you like?
How am I looking at the last couple of weeks or overall? The
Cleveland.
Yeah, the Celtics, if it's home court. But I don't feel good about it.
Three different answers.
What am I looking at the last couple of weeks? No, I've given you two. I've said the
You're
Celtics.
You're giving me three.
No, I haven't.
No,
I've said the Celtics
minute.
At the beginning of the effing show.
In the first segment of the effing show, you said Cleveland. Then I yelled at you, and you said, all right, fine, Celtics.
And I gave you the Celtics again.
Cleveland.
I don't feel that great about it.
Cleveland.
Okay, I'm going to try this for the fourth time now.
Celtics.
Celts-Cavs seven-game series starts tonight. Who do you like there, Murray?
Celtics. They have the home court advantage. Celtics.
So that's now two Celtics and two
Cavaliers. I've not said two Cavaliers. I've not.
You have.
I'm joking.
All right, Murray, let's break the tie. Pass him four times.
It's not tied. Jesus.
Got a different answer every time, Maz.
You haven't, but go ahead.
Celtics-Cavs tonight, seven-game series. Who do you like?
Celtics.
Okay.
3-2 Celtics.
3-2 Celtics. It's Monday, Murray. We come in hot. We come in hot. We get right up in your kitchen.
See if we can force a game seven.
Murray wasn't ready for it. Monday, 2 o'clock, sort of a soft opening, Murray just to sort of ease his way into the week. And right down his throat in the first segment. Who do you like, Murray? Why? Who do you like and why?
So I just wrote down all those mentions. I believe I have 5 Celtics and 3 Cavaliers.
You'd think I'd know after 3 years. We don't do nuance. Just give me an answer.
There
Stick
was
with
actually
it.
A double answer to one of them, so I marked it down as Cavs and Boston. But the Cavs took the first two answers, and then the Celtics made a miraculous comeback
by
taking
games.
The next yeah. 5 out of 6 answers.
The best part about the whole thing is Murray gets so exasperated. It's like, just... What do you want me to say so you'll shut up?
There's definitely
what will make
an
element you shut up and start asking me? Cleveland!
Tremendous.
Want to talk about some of these games over the last couple of weeks?
Final score.
Just fine. There's been a growing trend here with Maz over the last, is it really 2 weeks? So this happened today.
Huh. I don't know. It's just because if you start doing what you guys want... The next thing you know,
what do you mean you guys want? One team, we threw in like 2 or 3 more names and you go.
Next thing you know, it's Jim Loskatoff.
So we have the 3 incidents now all put together courtesy of Jimmy Stewart.
The where do you think people... I blanked.
Yeah, Paul Tomlin
used to be a lot.
If they did the same thing to Adam Jones, he wouldn't go to Indy either. He'd take over for us.
So the part that...
Good luck with that, Boston.
Yeah, good luck with that Pac-Man, is what I would say. It was a big shoes to fill, partner. The other part of it, like, it is stunning when you... I lost my train of thought.
It's okay. You don't need it. Here's an update.
It's been that kind of week. What can I tell you?
I don't know. It's just because if you start doing what you guys want... The next thing you know,
what do you mean you guys want? One team, we threw in like 2 or 3 more names and you freaking, you go.
Next thing you know, it's Jim Loskatoff.
And somehow, I'm guessing this is now my fault over the incident of a couple of Tuesdays ago.
I'm blaming you, Murray.
Yes. No question.
You can't get your thoughts straight and you're mixing me up.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.